Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your Browns might have to take a quarterback, and the Titans might make them do it. Yesterday, their new general manager, Mike Borgonzi, who sounds like a...
a comedian.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Bargatze?
It sounds like he's opening up for Nate Bargatze. Both
from Tennessee.
Mike Borgonzi. He gave a press conference yesterday. Now, this was said on the record to other reporters. Mike Garofolo has responded to it. Other people have responded to it, obviously, and I'll get to the Mike Garofolo part of this here in just a moment. Borgonzi had said that they're not going to pass up on a generational talent, is what the quote was. A generational talent. And it led a lot of people to possibly believe that, wait a minute. We just thought that you were going to take a quarterback, and now all of a sudden you might not take a quarterback. And because if you're saying generational talent, or well, either one of these quarterbacks, quote unquote, generational talents, unless they feel that, unless they're trying to set it up,
no one has said that.
Okay,
they might be getting first round grades from some pundits, but the generational talent thing is reserved for who? Let's go over it right now. It's Trevor Lawrence.
Okay.
Andrew Luck.
All right.
How many guys have gotten Joe Burrow did not get generational.
Peyton Manning was the last one. Yeah.
No.
So there
Peyton
haven't been a lot of
generational talent. They didn't get generational talent.
But he wasn't can't miss. Obviously, we know Patrick Mahomes wasn't. Josh Allen wasn't. They just ended up playing that way.
So if you hear generational talent.
Was Caleb Williams considered?
No.
His hype train a year prior was. Was off the charts.
I don't think he was ever generational. They never talked about him like take him and you're going to the playoffs right away.
He was generational talent. Sounds.
He was the number one consensus.
Yeah, I just think of those guys and when I hear generational talent, I think of the guys you just named. I did not hear like Caleb Williams. There was a lot of strong things being said, and maybe like Parkins or somebody said generational talent in Chicago. I'm not sure, but you know you're going to sell yourself on that sort of thing.
Though.
Yes, those are all QBs. That's exactly it. Now, Travis Hunter, that you could say is generational talent. That's what's made a lot of people start to think that, hey, you're not going to go after a quarterback here. Because who else is a generational talent other than Travis Hunter? Mike Garofolo, he seemed to agree with that and say that, well, they might not going to be taking a quarterback there. So now all of a sudden, if they trade out of it, like as the draft class goes and the trade market starts to heat up, well, this... Now I want to call him Borgonzi. Thank you very much. Mike Borgonzi, he might be throwing anything out there. Because remember, he's a new general manager. So they've set it up. The Titans and, guys, this isn't a comparison here. I know. If I want to sit here and compare the Browns with everybody, we're not going to get anything done. So I know where the Browns are at. But the Titans aren't necessarily a great franchise right now. And I don't think they know whether they're coming or going. They seem to keep... Honestly, it seems that... Adam Strunk is making the same mistakes that Jimmy Haslam made when he first started as the owner of the Cleveland Browns, where you kind of play this Russian stacking doll game of general managers who are in your organization. He goes out, he brings this guy in finally, and then you have this Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi saying, well, this is a generational talent. We're not going to pass up on a generational talent here. All right, they got time now. There's time. The head coach doesn't have time. So if the head coach didn't have time, you're thinking you're going to take a quarterback. Same thing I've been saying about the Browns and Kevin Stefanski and everybody. Now you have time. So technically, if you didn't like these QBs, you could say, hey, you guys drafted these QBs. I didn't draft this QB. I'm not going to go and put our team in a bad position if I don't like these guys. So now all of a sudden, you have two things you have to answer. One, if you're at number two, if somebody trades up, are they trading up for Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders? I imagine they're trading up for Shedeur Sanders. If they trade up for Shedeur Sanders, do I like Cam Ward? Or why would a team that needs a quarterback trade out of a position when you don't intend on being in that position again? You have a lot of things that you have to answer, and they just muddy the waters for you.
Was your takeaway? A lot of people's takeaway was, oh, Travis Hunter, generational talent.
That's what
Travis Hunter. Now, it's interesting.
Talent overall, generational.
I've told you the hard thing about Travis Hunter is I can find plenty of pundits that they're like, yeah, Travis Hunter was really good. Really good shutdown corner this year. One of the best in college football. But like PFF had him graded as the sixth best corner.
Mm-hmm.
There are other places that had him number two, number three. So, okay, well, what about wide receiver? I don't know. I think Jeremiah Smith's probably a better wide receiver than Travis Hunter. So it's not like Travis Hunter is the best wide receiver we've seen come out of college. No, he's good. He's really good. Mm-hmm. So he's really good at those two things. But in the end, don't we think, and we had Ronnie McLeod in studio. Ronnie McLeod is like, he's going to have to pick one. Like he can have some plays here and there as a wide receiver. Like if he were going to go that way where he was a full-time corner, yeah, there'll be some packages for him to be a wide receiver. But now you're taking the generational talent thing out of the mix because now you're not going to use him both ways throughout the game like he was in college. That's what separated him. In the end, most NFL coaches are going to say, you are a full-time this, and then we can maybe dabble a little bit doing that.
I'm going to muddy the water even more. Here's Brian Baldinger on Afternoon Drive yesterday about either Abdul. They asked him about Abdul Carter, but he also talked about Travis Hunter. Hit it.
Me and Brian know each other from way back, but I asked him about Travis. I said, can he honestly go both ways in the pros? And he goes, absolutely, Baldy. And he goes, the big difference is, you know, we run plays every 16 seconds in college. You know, everything is up-tempo. He goes, they don't do that in the NFL. Like, he's going to get 40 seconds of rest in between plays. And that really opened my eyes. I said, so he can be an elite receiver and a shutdown corner. And I don't think Prime was, like, blowing smoke at me. He said he could do both. And so there's something about that I'd be intrigued by. A guy that could give you, I don't know, 100 snaps a game, something like that, let's say, over Abdul Carter. Because I would love to see Abdul Carter opposite of Miles. Like, that might be pretty dynamic. That could be fun. Because I think Abdul Carter is going to be a really good player.
I think Abdul Carter is the safest choice for the Cleveland Browns. I think Travis Hunter can give you even bigger problems than a quarterback. And the reason I say this is because if you don't trust the coaching staff, if you don't trust them with quarterbacks, how do you trust them to play a guy on both sides of the ball? How do you trust them to find a place that he excels at? So when Rodney says that he's going to have to probably pick a side and go with it, he more than likely will probably have to pick a side and go with it. But I would want a package of something offensively or defensively, something to throw people off where usually I would probably imagine offensively where it's like, okay, number 12 is coming on the field. I got to pay attention to whether or not Travis Hunter is going to be a decoy or they're actually going to throw him the football. But if I throw too much at him, now all of a sudden I'm trying to make him good at both things and I could end up ruining the guy and put him behind or at least start him off behind where he needs to be in his rookie season. There's a lot to consider here for those that don't trust the franchise, don't trust the coaching staff, maybe don't trust Colorado. I trust Colorado and I trust Travis Hunter, but there's a lot to consider there. But if Tennessee goes ahead and takes him, now you got to figure out what you want to do. Do you take a quarterback in this draft class or do you get nervous about that going, why wouldn't Tennessee want a guy? Will Levis isn't very good. We got to trade out of this thing. What the hell's going on? There's a lot to get to.
Well, am I missing something? Is this going to be the start of either a new trend for the special players that they can go both ways? Because you heard Baldinger say, you know, there will be a little more rest in the NFL, even though it's way more physical, obviously, than it is at the college level. Like, I was probably behind on mobile quarterbacks, and now every quarterback is mobile, so there was an evolution there in the NFL. What about when it comes to somebody who can go both ways?
Uh-huh.
I mean, do you think he can go both ways for 100 plays in an NFL game?
I think that, you know, when he says both ways, Deion Sanders makes a hell of a point about every play, more plays in college football, but you're not playing against the same competition. This is the elite. This is the best of the best. And I can say, well, this isn't the Big 12. It doesn't matter. They find him everywhere. You're playing against the very best every week. I want you to be focused and ready to go. We can fold in some different things. But I have to play on people's fears here. How much do you trust Kevin Stefanski as the head coach? How much do you trust Jim Schwartz? Probably a lot of people trust Jim Schwartz. I'm not sure people trust Tommy Rees whatsoever right now. I think that he'll have a chance to instill some confidence coming up at 10 a.m. A press conference will carry here on the Fan. Like, there's a lot of nerves there. But let's just say Tennessee takes Travis Hunter number one overall. I think a lot of people have been telling themselves, well, Cam Ward's not there, so we can't take a quarterback because Cam Ward's not there, and I don't want Shedeur Sanders. Okay, well, let's put our money where our mouth is. Now, what if Cam Ward is there? You guys ready to squeeze the trigger and go get Cam Ward?
Oh, I think it'd be a no-brainer.
Bring him to the Cleveland Browns?
I think it'd be a no-brainer. I've all along just assumed they would not be able to get Cam Ward. And if he's there at number two, they're taking him, right?
Unless they believe that Cam Ward's such a generational talent. So was this just a nice safety blanket for a lot of people? 216-474-0092. That, hey, we're not going to be able to take Cam Ward, so we really can't take a quarterback. Let's trade down, and we'll do something easier because we don't want to risk it. Or, hey, you willing to take Cam Ward then?